The Brad Sessmatt Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
Thanks for being with us. We have a couple of different directions to go on today's show, things of interest to us. It is always good. It's always a good day when I look down on our show sheet and see that Paula Bovin is going to be with us, the professor. Paula, of course, former Arizona Republic columnist. Beyond that, Paula Bovin, dear friend. Paula Bovin and I go all the way back to our Los Angeles days when she crushed it there in her 20s as a reporter. Now she's just a little north of 20, as am I, and we're still doing this thing. So the professor is going to be with us because I think it's time to talk a little bit about sports. It's time to talk a little bit about bashing of journalism and fake news, where she's sitting there with students day in and day out at the Cronkite School, churning them out, and how does she work through that? And then we're going to have Mike Peterson with us today. So Mike Peterson is someone you should know in the high school end or just in our community. I am all about who's in the community. Going and getting a Peter King to come on this show and talk about national stuff, yes, or Seth Joyner or Charles, whoever. But there's times where this show has to be about what is next door to you, the kid next door, the coach next door. What is going on in our community? So what is going on in our community is today we had a new high in cases for COVID and more deaths. And for people that say, well, I don't know anybody who's died as of yet, I'm starting to hear from people or see people that have been impacted on that front. And who are you to be God? Pretty simple. Mike Peterson has decided, he's the head football coach at Red Mountain High School, a very good program that was the state runner-up last year. Every year, Red Mountain turns out a very good program, very, very good program, well-coached. And he decided enough of this, why are we having high school football workouts where COVID numbers are spiking? I can go find 20 coaches on the air that will say why we want to be out here. Most of them don't want to come on the air and say anything about why we shouldn't be on the air because they don't want to hear from parents saying, well, my kid's going to fall behind and all that stuff. Actually, I had a high school athletic director text me saying, so you don't understand your stance, Brad, because my stance in the last 4 days has been very strong, that why are we putting these kids out there like lab mice, not knowing what COVID's all about? Well, if we take them off the field now, they could get hurt in a game against a team that did practice when we play them in August. What? I'm not quite hearing you on this. So Mike Peterson stepped forward in a leadership role. That's what a football coach is, a leader to young men, but a football coach is also a leader within a community. Follow me on this. You know, as popular as that sport is, the high school that's near you, you know who the football coach is. If you're in that space of being a parent, if you went to that high school, you have a sense of pride. Some in our industry think high school is beneath them. We can't talk about high school. It's beneath us. We can only be pro. No, that's not how it works. So when I saw that Mike took the step of leadership and said, hey, what are we doing here exactly? It's time to get him on, so I'm looking forward to that. There's a ton going on. Our opening comments are brought to you by Sagicor Now. Protect what matters most, and that is with life insurance. As we go through the summer months now, and as it looks like that COVID is spiking once again, you probably are spending more time at home. Maybe you're out. I don't know. I can't prevent that. Hope you're masked up. But have you checked into your life insurance? Is everything handled the way that you would want if you weren't able to come home tonight? And there's also other ways that you can use life insurance. It's a very smart tool in your financial tool belt. Log on, get your free quote at Sagicor Now. That's at Sagicor Now. We appreciate Sagicor and their support. Eric is with us. What is on your boilerplate today? What is really got you going today in the sports world? Or anything. I don't care. Anything. We talk about anything on this show.
Well, baseball's back.
Yeah, right.
Can you sense my excitement?
Are you in it with me? Like, I'll believe it when I see a first pitch.
We're closer than further. But I think, Brad, a lot of what you talked about in your opening commentary with high school football. It just, I had a small powwow social distance wise with a couple people in the high school football world, and they are convinced that we will see a season, but it will be a shortened season.
Yeah.
The longer we get into the summer, I am more skeptical of even that. Because like you and I talked about yesterday, there are some teams that have not even stepped on the practice field since March. And if they didn't do anything on the field in terms of conditioning and workouts in February, there are some teams that have not technically worked out together since the end of last season.
Sure.
And everyone's on a different scale when it comes to how advanced they are and things like that. And another thing that I find very interesting is the AIA is going to have to scramble, if it's a shortened season, to reschedule all these games.
Yeah.
Can you imagine trying to pick the Open Eight when the season's only five or six games long?
Well, and look, I look at programs that are on the smaller scale on this, to your point. So I don't know if I'll just pick a program off the board. Phoenix Christian, Valley Christian, Seton Catholic. I don't know if they're working out or not. They don't have as many players as the football farms that are out there. They don't. And I'm not taking shots at these programs that are loaded with players. You know, I have nothing personal with Chandler or Hamilton or Brophy or Saguaro, or, you know, you go down the list of teams that are there every year at the end. You know, Williams Field. Brophy was down for a couple seasons, and, you know, Jason's come in there. He's got straightened out. A program like Hamilton went through the hazing thing, and now they've got it straightened out in terms of just wins and losses. But I think any right mind, I talked to some high school kids yesterday, okay? High school kids. Yeah, we're at these workouts, and everybody's uncomfortable. Everybody's uncomfortable. Coaches. I was out at Basher this last week, and they're trying to do the best that they can. But, you know, you have coaches that look at you and they're like, what are we doing out here exactly? But if it's over on the football factory side, I get some blowback that's just, you know, what are you doing calling us out and all that stuff? And I just don't think that right now, that with COVID cases spiking, it was like 3,600 more of them yesterday. And if it's a kid that tests positive, or if it's a kid that's out with family members who may be running to nightclubs in Scottsdale without masks and all that stuff, and they take it back, and they may look around their household and say, I don't have anybody here with an underlying health condition. We have someone on our staff who has an underlying health condition. I'm just going to leave it at that. And so I'm uncomfortable with that person being out at times. It's up to them. But I've talked to that person and said, I don't want you out there. If you're not comfortable, don't do it.
And I think another thing, Brad, there are just so many distractions right now. Like, all these coaches and players can put on good faces and say, yeah, we got great work in, and yeah, we're making strides. But there's just so much going on besides COVID. Everything, you know, it's the summer. It's hot. People have been stuck inside. When they go outside, you know, people in Phoenix in the summer are kind of just naturally grouchy because there's no mental break with the weather. You go out for a walk at 9:30 at night, it's 100 degrees. You get up at 5 in the morning and go for a walk, and it's 98 degrees. And this is just the time of year. Usually people are leaving the state. A lot of people are not leaving.
Right.
So everything is just intensified.
No, that's true. No, I think that's very fair, and I think it's a good point. At the end of the day, to me, and I don't have anybody that I can point a finger at, because I had some people reach out to me over the weekend who said, you know, you're not taking the assistant coaches and the money being taken off their table. And I look at that pretty simply and say, well, let's develop a syllabus together and let's just zoom in for these kids for the next 2 weeks and teach some life skills stuff. Hey guys, today we're going to learn how to tie a tie. You may think that that's easy, but we could sit there and zoom and tie a tie. You know, open a door, this sort of thing that may not be taught at home. As a football player on campus, here's some situations you don't want to get into if you're in college. If you come across some money, here's what you don't want to do when you're in college. I think developing a syllabus of just some simple life skills being taught by the football coaches on Zoom, or having people come in and speak on their behalf and the coach is in the room. Coach is still going to get paid. Do it for 2 to 3 weeks. Let's see if the numbers continue to spike or not. Simple. But I felt like yesterday, the Bubba Wallace story, my phone, you know how it is. When something big happens, people just start beeping you. They just start pinging. And my phone was, can you believe what's going on? Now, the races at Talladega, it was rain delayed from the day before. I'd kind of forgotten about the start time. I was doing other things. I turned it on and I just got chills. Like, oh my gosh, this is so great. And then you find out that it's Kevin Harvick. And it was actually Jimmy Johnson that started the, we have to do something. And then Kevin Harvick said, well, what if we did this? Marty Smith, a very passionate reporter for ESPN, is the one that had those two names. Those are the two names to me today. And yes, Bubba Wallace is the big story. Don't lose attention to that. But there always has to be, you have to have someone willing to run to the fire to help out. And those two guys looked at this and said, this is our sport. This is wrong. We're running to the fire for our guy, Bubba. And, you know, if they don't do that, if it's just they run a race yesterday, it's a race. But instead, I mean, Eric, that impact, the president out at the track here in town, Julie Giese, is going to come on with us later this week. I've been talking with Julie this morning about this. I just think it's time to have a conversation about everything going on in the sport. And the biggest race of the year is going to be here in Phoenix.
It was an iconic moment for a sport that really needed an iconic moment. I mean, we're going to be looking back in 15, 20 years. And that picture of those drivers walking behind Wallace's car, I mean, that should be a promotional piece that NASCAR uses for as long as there is NASCAR. Because it was a momentum-shifting event yesterday for the sport, especially when baseball on the same day was struggling to do whatever.
Right.
NASCAR elevated its status as America's pastime continued to stumble to find its identity.
No, that's well put. I think that's well put. And then when the drivers had their chance to speak at the podium after the race was over, they said things were very well thought out. They didn't have notes in front of them. This wasn't some PR thing reading off a prompter. This was their teammate. This was their coworker. I mean, that's how that sport is. That is their coworker. They've got their cubicle over there, but at the end of the day, we're all trying to get to the same common goal. We want to make some money. We want to do a sport that is very impactful. And I just thought it was terrific. Paula Bovin is on the other side, the professor. That's next. Now, as mentioned, my friend Paula Bovin, the professor, Cronkite School, former Arizona Republic columnist, long, long time friend in press boxes. And I wanted to have you on just because I haven't talked to you. And there's a lot. Do you miss writing in times like this?
A little bit when, especially now, because these are things that I used to tell you, it was hard for me to get really angry about hiring a coach, firing a coach. But when there are issues about social justice and inequality, yeah, that was my wheelhouse. So definitely at this time for sure.
What is the story that has bothered you the most in the last, since the pandemic started? Because there's been so many of them, Paula.
Oh, my gosh. I don't even know where to start. I mean, are we talking in the sports realm or just in the world?
Anything in the world. You know me. If it's sports or world, whatever.
It has been so frustrating to me, this sort of backlash with Black Lives Matter and the failure of some in our community to accept the fact there's a systemic racism. And while I completely understand the support we need to give our police department and other people in those services, so many people I know are so quick to diminish this Black Lives Matter movement. And that part has been really frustrating.
Okay. How have you handled the bashing of journalists with fake news and students that you're sitting in front of and trying to mentor and walk them through the industry that they want to get into, but they're being told that what they do is not real. How do you handle that?
Yeah, it's been actually fascinating sort of revolution that's happened with this. For one, these Cronkite students are more passionate than ever. And I think you've probably seen some of it, what's happened on social media, whether it was trying to hire a dean that had a bad history or anything else. So they do not seem discouraged by sort of the talk about fake news. In fact, they seem more impassioned than ever. And I would say it has prompted some amazing discussions at Cronkite. Things were changing. Things were rethinking how we write. You know, for instance, we're capitalizing Black now, starting with a capital B. We didn't do that before. To just, you know, how we present pictures, really, really thoughtful discussion. So I'm more inspired than anything.
Are they coming to you with these ideas, or is this the professors all coming together? I've been in a couple of those adjunct meetings where we have collective ideas. How does that process work?
Yeah, it's been a little bit of everything. You know, where I work is Cronkite News, and so this is where most of the discussions have taken place, because we're basically like a wire service, and we're writing stories, we're putting things on air. So it has been, even though we're doing our sort of classes, per se, our newsroom on Zoom, we are constantly on Zoom having those discussions. And even like right now, we've had meetings at noon, just open forum for people wanting, students, reporters wanting to come and voice their opinion and concerns. We have Slack channels devoted to, you know, what do you guys think of this, and having them really empowered in these discussions.
The fake news side of it, are there students that you have to talk? This may be an odd question to ask, but you know me. Are there students that come into this, or are there people that have come to you guys and said, you guys aren't real? You guys are part of the problem, and you have to talk to them about this a little bit.
You mean like the public question?
Yeah.
I mean, we hear it all the time, whether it's somebody, you know, emailing us about something we wrote, to these students seeing, you know, hearing their president use that description to maybe family members. You know, what the thing we're hearing now is these comments, oh, the media is not here. The media is here. The media is creating this. And so, yeah, we have a lot of discussions about that. But they also know that people can't get enough of the media right now. As much as it's being bashed, I mean, you know, readership at some of these major papers is huge, and websites, and people are watching the local news to see for today, you know, President Trump is going to be in town. They need the information from there, getting in lines and all those things. So as much as everyone is bashing the media right now, they also can't get enough of it.
Paula Bovin, the professor with us, rushing back to sports. I see that as a real issue going on. I understand it's the dollars and rights fees, but I feel like even all the way down to the high school level, we're looking at these kids as lab rats and mice. And in the college space, where Clemson has, I think it's north of 30 now that have tested positive for COVID. And even these players at the NBA and other pro sports, how do you see sports working in the midst of what's going on with this pandemic?
It is so tricky, Brad, because, you know, I mean, in some circumstances, we see it working. I think auto racing, NASCAR, they've been able to work it out with their situation. I've been watching more German league soccer than I ever have in my life, because it's one of the few things available right now. Those leagues, for the most part, seem to have worked it out. But we haven't, you know, football is a different animal with the contact and everything else. And so I just think there's a big mystery. I think there are, you use the word lab rats, and that's kind of expression lab rats, and that's kind of what's going to happen. We're going to see these things tested out. You know, we'll be seeing the NBA soon enough, how that's going to work. And it will take one really bad scenario of somebody getting it from a teammate, giving it to a grandparent, and then the grandparent dies. And then everybody's going to have to, you know, readdress this issue. So it's a day by day thing, you know, whether it's the reports we get on TV about the cases to how the leagues are responding.
You know, what's interesting to me about all this is I have taken a stance that we needed a reset in sports anyways. We'd become so and I'm going after my own industry. We had gotten so far away from family, and it doesn't matter if it's high school, college, or pro. You could sit there on a Sunday morning and put on an NFL game at 10 a.m., and you could sit there on your couch all day and all night. And you could do that on college. You could do that on high school. The consumption, I think, for some, and I've had discussions with family, that they've actually gotten closer together because of all this. They haven't had the candy sitting over there in the bowl saying, I could just turn on a game at any day, at any point, any time. Doesn't mean I don't miss it. But I just felt like a reset needed to happen of some sort, or a pivot needed to happen of some sort. Obviously, I don't want a pandemic. Mm-hmm. Do you see that, or did you feel that, or was it just, you know, this really does stink that it's been taken all the way down to the ground?
Oh, no, I think there have been some positives. One big one, the one you mentioned, you know. Although, my God, I would rather be watching the NFL with my family. We can do it together, you know?
Yeah, sure.
No, I think there has been, you know, whether it's family playing board games together or doing things maybe you wouldn't have thought of. For me, I think even the bigger sort of pro that has come out of this era of COVID and protest, and, you know, there haven't been many pros, is I've loved watching athletes find their voices. We're beyond the Michael Jordan comment of Republicans buy shoes too, right? So why he wouldn't say things.
I love
hearing these guys, these young players coming into the league with confidence to voice their opinions, and maybe you don't always agree with them, but I never bought the whole things that stick to sports for athletes. They're human beings, you know, whether it was, you know, Steve Nash, I remember catching grief during that Los Suns era with the jerseys and things like that. That for me has been one of the kind of cool things that have happened.
No, you can go all the way back to Charles. Some people love Charles. Some people didn't like Charles and all that stuff. And bring it all the way up to Chuba Hubbard last week, calling out his coach at Oklahoma State. And within an hour, a brush fire had erupted, and the coach had to sit there next to him. And yeah, a lot of it was scripted and staged and PR to death. But at the end of the day, this college player said, we're not taking this anymore. We're not about this anymore. This is who we are. We're not going to just sit there and take it. So, no, I think that's well put.
Yeah, it is. And it's just inspiring conversations that people weren't having before. And, you know, so many even college coaches, even pro coaches, they're so good at what they do, but they have such tunnel vision because they spend 20 hours a day during games. And, you know, you've had these situations too. You ask a coach something and you never heard of the most popular show on TV or never saw a movie in 2 years, you know? And I think for them having these conversations, one, I think a guy like Herm Edwards has probably always had, but other coaches haven't. I think that's really, really good.
No, to see Bobby Hurley at a protest, right? And to see Bobby Hurley masked up to watch his kid at a high school basketball tournament, to me, it is refreshing, because usually in the summertime, those guys are gone. Mm-hmm. Those guys are doing all the tournaments. They're doing all the things. There's people in our industry that I've talked to, broadcast industry, that usually they're in broadcast booths doing baseball games, and now they're with their kids for the first time in 20 years.
Right.
And they never knew. Like, yeah, it's not bad. We'll get back to it, but, you know, let's relax a little bit.
So. Absolutely. Absolutely.
It's good seeing you.
You too, Brad. I miss you.
Well, then I'll buy you lunch for that. That was a very nice thing for you to say. You know, right. We'll have to distance, but I'll buy you lunch. See you. Stay well.
All right. You too, Brad.
Stay well. There's Paula Bovin with us. The professor. Always good to catch up with Paula, one of my favorite people through the years doing this little thing on the business end. All right, we're gonna have Mike Peterson, head coach at Red Mountain High School, in about 10 minutes. On the other side, the baseball thing and where it sits as we're here in the middle of the day, almost the middle of the day, and much more. Stay with us. So in about 7 minutes, we'll have Mike Peterson, head football coach at Red Mountain High School. Do you have any predictions for what the rest of this year is going to look like? Like, will Jaden Daniels throw 20 touchdowns? Are you willing to make predictions that the Suns will make the playoffs?
I am willing to predict the Suns will not make the playoffs.
Are you willing to make a prediction right now that the high school football season will start on time in the third week of August?
I am willing to predict that the high school season will not start on time in the third week of August. I will also predict that, boy, it must be a fun time in Vegas right now if they're trying to put together college football odds and over-unders on things like Jaden Daniels' touchdown passes when we may have a season, we may have a shortened season, there may be no season. Vegas is slowly starting to open back up again, and I'm sure all these casinos are like, yes, come on, let's bring your money to us. We need it.
Will we have any preseason NFL football games for me to make fun of this August?
We will not have any preseason NFL
games
for you to make.
Maybe two. I agree with you on that one. See, a year ago, I was fortunate. I scheduled double knee replacement right in the middle of August so that I wouldn't have to put up with the nonsense and the BS of NFL preseason football, which is the lowest of the lowest of the lowest of the lowest when it comes to the sporting calendar.
Yeah, the first preseason game this year will be a dress rehearsal like it usually is, but the second preseason game will probably be more like the third preseason game where the starters play more so they can get in sync and things like that.
Still not good.
Still sucks.
Will the first preseason NFL game be on time or will it be pushed back? Do you think August 5th is the first week of preseason? I am saying not a chance as we sit here right now.
Nobody loves the NFL quite like the NFL loves the NFL. So
I'm going to predict
that yes, the preseason will start on time.
The Coyotes will make a push in this shortened playoff that they're going to be a part of.
I will predict the Coyotes will make a push in this shortened playoff.
I think that's a good one.
I'm not sure how deep that push will be, but they will make a little noise.
Okay. The Diamondbacks, people will complain. I mean, really complain about who cares about baseball. But if they get off to a 15-5 start, they will be right in the middle of the sports calendar. Or doesn't matter what they do, Brad. It's just not happening this year.
Oh, come on, Brad. You've lived here long enough. What does Arizona love more than anything?
Front-running.
Of course, they'll be excited.
Okay.
But they'll only be excited until the NFL starts. So
at that point, just forget it. U of A, ASU, who wins more games this year in a shortened season?
Football?
You got to think about this one in football. Yeah, shortened season. Let's say they start chopping games.
That's the great unknown because I want to know which games get chopped.
There you go. So I'm hearing that there's all sorts of formulas and you have to look at what states are open, what states are not open, the timing of the game. Like ASU diehards will just say, well, that's a dumb question. Of course we're going to win. We have a better team. But you don't know what your schedule might look like if they start chopping games. You don't know what it's going to look like if people do test positive. Like there's actually people out there saying it's good at Clemson that they're on fire right now because it's June. So when their season starts, they're going to be fine.
There's a little validity to that. If everyone's going to go through it, I'm sure coaches would much rather go through it in June than in August.
Yeah. All right, we're going to do more of this, but I got to step aside here. Mike Peterson is next from Red Mountain High School. Made the call. Was it a tough call to say, we are stopping because of what's going on with COVID? I think it's the right call. That's next. So about 10 days ago, I started feeling uncomfortable with high school kids being out on fields with practices. It just didn't quite feel right with COVID going on. I understood that it was conditioning. And at the beginning, it was, okay, I get it. There was not a spring period. There was no spring football. And it's good for kids to get outside, to get back together. Everybody's going to practice social distancing. And then I started to hear of, well, some schools are not working out. Some schools are. Some schools are in this stage. Some schools in that stage. Well, that's not right if there's no uniformity. And then it was a point last Friday where the numbers were spiking. And I just flat out said, guys, let's just shut this down. For a couple of weeks, some of you took it as an attack on football that I didn't want to have a season, which is not true in any way, shape, or form. It happens in social media, believe it or not. People take stuff out of context. So then yesterday afternoon, I read that Mike Peterson, the head football coach at Red Mountain High School, put out a very well thought out release, I guess is the best way to put it. And I'm not going to read the whole thing, but at the end, he did write, over the next couple of weeks, we will continue to evaluate the situation with a strong hope to resume traditional workouts July 6th. Mike Peterson joins us now for a couple of minutes. Red Mountain is one of the power programs in the state of Arizona when it comes to football. Every year, they have a very good program, one of the tops in the state. So for the coach to take this stance, to me, sends a very strong message of just how serious this is. And guys, what are we really doing here? Mike, it's Brad Sussmat. How are you?
Good. How are you, Brad? Good to be with you this morning.
Good to be with you too. So when did you start to think, what are we doing here exactly? And just walk me through that process.
Well, you know, as we've been at it a couple of weeks and we've got a lot of good work done, but it's been real restrictive. We've been in groups outside smaller than 18 with two coaches. We've been in the weight room with groups of nine. And this week, the city of Mesa was going to be more restrictive on what we could do, or we'd need to be masked up the majority of the time. And the numbers are spiking, and the restrictions are becoming more. And we had done just about all we could do without any footballs. You know, I told my guys, don't even bring a football because somebody's going to throw it and somebody's going to catch it. And then somebody's going to get in trouble from the district. And that somebody is me. So, you know, we got schools without footballs. We got schools with footballs. We got schools that are doing one-on-ones. We got schools that aren't doing anything. And so all of this thing is just a risk reward for us that we just balanced out. It's getting more strict for us in the city of Mesa. We can't have a football. We've got 20 pass plays in, and we don't even know if we can catch the ball because we can't throw it to anybody. And the numbers are going up, and it's just, you know, hey, let's take a pause for the cause and see what we can do to help the state and the community. And maybe we've been lucky that we don't have any cases on our team so far. And so let's just take a deep breath and see where it goes in the next couple of weeks.
Mike Peterson with us, head football coach at Red Mountain High School. When you decided to go this path, did you visit with your assistant coaches about it, parents about it? What was the internal discussion like?
I did. I sent a text out, you know, Saturday morning, Friday night, maybe to the varsity coordinators and the level head coaches and just said, hey, what do you guys think? These numbers are getting pretty scary around the state. You know, I've got two coaches that have their ailing elderly parents living with them. I've got an asthmatic coach. Mm. I've got an asthmatic daughter that I live with. I can only assume that our parents and our student athletes have the same situations at their house. And let's see what we can do to help and not gather the next time at somebody's funeral.
Oh, that's well put. That's well put. Did you visit with other coaches outside of Red Mountain High School, other head coaches at their programs and for feedback, or did you pretty much know this is what we need to do?
No, just pretty much knew that that's what we needed to do. And you know, to be real honest, this was going to be our last week before we took a week off for the 4th of July break that we take mm-hmm. off every year. Mm-hmm. So, you know, this was, some have said this was a strong statement that I made, but you know, in all humility, we only canceled this week and next week we were going to be off for the 4th of July break. And so it just seemed like a good ideal time to maybe take a step back and let the numbers decrease of COVID around the state and see what we can do. And maybe and then even see if the AIA will come in and give some guidance around the state instead of, you know, 3 miles to the south of us, they're doing this, and 4 miles to the north of us, they're doing that. And, yep. You know, 2 miles to the east of us, they've got these rules. And I maybe some uniformity might be nice in the next couple of weeks.
It blows me away, Mike, in all honesty. I was out at a was out at a 6A program the other day, and they were just had towels wrapped up with their quarterbacks, and coach looks at me and says, I don't even know why we're out here. And it's the lack of uniformity. The lack of uniformity is stunning to me with what is going on right now. And so I appreciate your humility, but you did take the step of leadership. You did say it doesn't matter if it's 3-4 practices. Anything could have happened in those 3 or 4 practices. So I'll just say to you, kudos to you on this front. And I guess I look at it and wonder, what did your players think when you spoke to them about this? Because I've heard that, well, we're taking away assistant coaches, stipends, monies, whatever, by saying we're not having practices. And I could say they could zoom in and have some life lessons, conversations, and those coaches could still figure out ways to go about it. Just on your players' end of things, what was the players' response?
Well, I got to be honest, you know, we practice, we've been running our practices in the evenings. And they're really not camps. There's really no unpaid. There's really no fee. It's really just open field, open weight room. And the only reason we take attendance is for their daily health attestations of, you know, fever, cough, headache, all that stuff. So, you know, I just sent a happy Father's Day announcement out on Sunday, and just told the players and the parents the decision. And so it wasn't a team meeting. There wasn't a gathering. It was just a letter that I sent out. Happy mm-hmm. Father's Day. We've done a great couple weeks. It's not wise to keep going at this point. And so, the to sum up the feedback I've got from parents and players would be, thank you. This COVID thing is no joke. And that's pretty much sums up the feedback I've got via email or text.
As we sit here today, Coach, and I know it's the 23rd of June, I'm no doctor. I don't believe you're a doctor. Do you believe that the season will start on time?
I honestly don't know. We're gonna play by the rules, and if that's what they want us to do, start on official practice on the 27th of July, then we'll be out there doing what we can do and ready to compete. That's way above my pay grade, I think. So we'll just do what we're asked to do as good men. You know, I sure don't know if I know I've taken a stand here, but I sure don't know if I could cancel the season just at Red Mountain because of this. You know, when the official practices begin and that's the go ahead that we get, well then that's what we'll do as well. And we'll surely try and be safe and sterilize the locker room constantly and do what we can do. But we're just hoping the next couple of weeks the numbers will settle down and people will be responsible in their communities and do what they can to stop the spread. You know, I said to somebody else earlier, I don't know that we can keep everyone from getting it, but what we can do is keep it slow enough so that the hospitals and the doctors can mm-hmm. treat those people that do get it. So, you know, we're just trying to do our part, I guess.
No, and I think that as a dad in my space and on the media side of things, you know, having had 4 kids go through high school, at the end of the day, Mike, it's the kids have to get to school. Kids have to get into class. And I don't know if that's going to happen this year, but if they do get into class because things are flattened out, then we have a much better chance of having a football season. No kids in school, I don't see where it's going to go. And I'm not looking for a comment on that. That's just my own personal opinion on this. How many players do you have within your entire program? Do you know? Like all levels combined?
Our voluntary workouts this summer been approaching about 200 mm-hmm. from freshmen to incoming seniors, incoming freshmen to incoming seniors. about 200 kids.
And your program, in my opinion, is one of the power programs out there. It's every year Red Mountain puts out a very, very well coached, very, very good product. And so those kids are conditioned, I'm sure, of let's go about this the right way. So as you said earlier, it sounded like it wasn't really a hard sell to anybody on this. It's let's just do the right thing.
Yeah, we've got great kids and they do great things. And they had a great couple weeks of doing everything we asked them to do, which is probably why we didn't have any new cases on our team. I just thought that we were lucky at that point and the way the numbers are spiking. And I thought, you know, hey, we've had a good couple of weeks. We've done about everything we can without a football. And with the low numbers that we can have in the weight room, you know, with those numbers, if we were to just do strength training in the weight room nine at a time, it'd take us all dadgum day to work through the entire team to lift them. Yeah. So, you know, it just seemed like it was the right thing to do.
Well, kudos to you, and I appreciate you taking the time, Mike, to talk to us about the program and your decision. Thanks.
You bet. Glad to talk with you, Brett.
This is Mike Peterson, head football coach at Red Mountain High School, taking a stand and saying, you know what, enough is enough. And I appreciate that. July 6th, let's see where we are. Let's see where we are. Titles, I know some people disagree with this statement. Titles are not won on July or June 23rd alone. Alone. Okay? So to have a coach like this take a stand, I think, especially from a program as well thought of as Red Mountain, is terrific. Jared Nielsen is our chairman of the board. He's the Iron Man. Eric Sorensen, senior executive vice president of Nothing or Everything, depending on the day. Thanks to Paula Bovin for jumping on in as well. We're going to head over and work on content on the website. If you've not been over there, sports360az.com. That's sports360az.com. Our football show on Fox Sports Arizona. Brad Sussmat, Football AZ, 12 airings this week. Starting tonight, we are self-funded. That means that people come to us and say, we like what you do. Our company wants to be involved with you. We appreciate your support. We don't charge you a fee to come in here and check out what we do. We've been this way for 9 years and love it. Have a great day.